Inside, the ship was in chaos. The woman with Cecilia locked down the hover chair in the lounge and went to help the others arrange Cecilia's suite. Harris saw the clone looking out of his quarters and beckoned.
Here, why don't you keep Lady Cecilia company until we're ready to leave? Lady Cecilia, this is Gerald B. Smith, one of the prince's doubles. Mr. Smith, Lady Cecilia DeMartus.
Gerald B. smiled at her and gathered some bright-colored pillows to make himself a soft seat on the bare decking.
Yes, ma'am. Lady Cecilia, I'm delighted to meet you again. We've met, though I was at the time impersonating my prime, the prince.
I shall call you Mr. Smith.
Harris decided they'd do well enough alone and went back to her own work. Petrus had the engineering figures ready for her. Hydar had computed the new load on the environmental system, well within its capabilities, and had a projection for the supplies that would be needed at Guerny. Mahari and Janice were discussing the exact amount of power necessary to keep the weapons just below scannable levels.
Not Guerny scans, of course. We know about them now. I think they'd know if the toothpick in your pocket was intended for offensive use. Maybe they read minds, do you think?
I don't think. Mind reading is a myth. I just wish we had their capability. But you think our stuff isn't scannable by normal means?
We could ask the station master to look us over.
No. So far I've seen no sign that anyone on this station, or this planet, wishes Lady Cecilia ill, but why take chances? I'll trust your judgment.
She reminded herself that she wanted to speak to Skoderin, but Skoderin was busy in the guts of the ship, resetting flow rates to accommodate the larger load on the environmental system. Hydar, on his way to help her, said he'd give her the word once all the chores were finished.
No hurry.
In fact, it was a duty so low in priority that she didn't put it into her desk comp for a reminder request. Getting the Sweet Delight back into deep space and a jump or so away from Rotterdam was all that really concerned her. She did a final walkthrough inspection after the last loaders left, and Lady Cecilia was settled in her bed in her own suite. Everything looked as it should, her crew alert and at their stations, and nothing lying around where it shouldn't be. Undock had none of the ceremony she was used to. No financial records to clear, no lists of regulations to follow. She wondered what would happen if any sort of government inspection ventured this far from the center of Familius space. Did they ever? Could Annie or Tadeus adhere to rules? What rules, if they found it necessary? But with the yacht in in-system drive and the station receding in the distance, she put that out of her mind. However it was run, by whatever gang of independents, that station wouldn't be there without some kind of discipline. Its air had been good, its water plentiful, its power supply and gravity control steady. The docking collars had held pressure, so what was she fretting about? Harris grinned as she realized what it was. She had spent so many years putting up with boring, routine double and triple checks because she had believed them necessary. Without them, stations would fall out of the sky, air would fail, spacecraft would go boom. And here was someone ignoring, or at least seeming to ignore, the usual precautions, and doing very well anyway. She resented the time she'd wasted. She also resented the return of Sirkin's mysterious problem. Nothing happened on her first shift, but as they were approaching the first jump point, Oblo reported that Sirkin had left an open circuit in the communications control mechanism. Not a fatal error, yet, but a sign of carelessness. Harris was furious when he called her about it. Enough was enough. She'd replace Sirkin when they got to Guerny. She flung off the covers and dressed, thinking how to say it and how to explain to Lady Cecilia. It was simply too bad to have to bother her now in her condition. When she was dressed, she went to the bridge, where the tension needed no words to express. Janice nodded at her, and Kulkul handed her the log, with Oblo's entry. All three of them looked as upset as she felt. Harris read it and looked at the circuits herself. Anger and sorrow both. She hated to see someone with potential go bad, but that's what Sirkin was doing.
Have Sirkin report to my office.
The Sirkin who appeared seemed to be the bright-eyed, alert Sirkin she had first worked with, the young woman who should have had a successful career ahead of her.
Yes, ma'am?
She was even smiling, and nothing in her manner suggested any concern about her own duties. Harris handed her the log.
Can you explain that entry, Ms. Sirkin?
The formality wiped the smile from Sirkin's face. She reached for the log with the first signs of uncertainty.
But I... It can't be!
I assure you, Miss Sirkin, that Mr. Vasisuan neither lies nor makes elementary mistakes. You signed off your shift, he found the open circuit. Those are facts. I asked for an explanation.
I don't know how it happened. Captain, I swear I didn't leave any circuits open. But I know Oblo wouldn't make it up. I don't know.
Harris picked up the log Sirkin had dropped.
Miss Sirkin, my patience has run out. Whatever your problems, I don't want them on my ship. You will be released from contract when we arrive at Guernsey. Until then, Mr. Vasisuan will serve as nav first. You will perform such duties as Mr. Vasisuan and Mr. Guar can oversee. You can expect to have your work checked very carefully, and any more lapses will be reflected in my statements to any future employer. You have done good work in the past. I hate to handicap you with a bad reference, but I'm not going to risk lives. Do you understand?
Sirkin had gone so pale, Harris was afraid she might faint.
Yes, ma'am.
You may go. You're off shift now. See if you can pull yourself together in time to be of some help to Issy Guar next shift.
Yes, ma'am.
Sirkin left with the gait of someone who has just taken a bad wound and hasn't felt it yet. Harris wanted to clobber the girl and cradle her at the same time. What a waste of talent. If she could only clear her head. But she'd learned early in her career that you could spend only so much time trying to rehabilitate losers. Get rid of them and get on with the job, which right now meant getting Lady Cecilia and Mr. Smith safely to the Guernsey Republic. She went back to the bridge.
Oblo, you're now nav first and Issy's your second. I don't want Sirkin standing any watches alone. She's to back up Issy during jumps next watch and do any other routine work you and Issy can check.
Yes, Captain.
He looked angry, but she knew it was more with circumstances than either Sirkin or herself. He had liked Sirkin, they all had, and they all felt betrayed by her failures.
Good idea, Captain. I know you and Petrus both liked her, and I had nothing against her before, but we can't risk anything now.
Mary's really mad. She thought a lot of the girl.
So did I. Now, with Sirkin off any solo watches, Nav's going to be as short as the rest of you.
Navigation Communication had had three to the other sections, too, but no one had minded.
If you need help up here, grab Skoderin from Hydar. She's capable of watching aboard for a few minutes.
And she's fleet. We know we can trust fleet, at least our old crew.
Right. Now, I think whatever's wrong with Sirkin is psychological, personal, but there's the smallest chance it's not. We know her lover was killed by Compassionate Hand, Bravos. We know her lover may have been recruited by that woman you saw, Oblo.
That counselor.
Right. It's just barely conceivable that Sirkin was recruited too, then or later, perhaps terrorized after Irulan's death. And if so, she could be working for the Benignity. I don't want her near the communications. They'll have a hard time finding one little yacht bouncing around jump after jump, but not if someone's got us lighted up for them.
What about that course she laid out? What if it's wrong? Takes us into CH space or something.
Check it. She said, let me think, that Skoderin brought her up-to-date chart data from the station master's office. Let's ask Skoderin.
Skoderin, roused from her off-shift sleep, arrived on the bridge looking only mildly puffy around the eyes.
Yes, ma'am. I did go over to the station master's office for Miss Sirkin. Made sense to me. We didn't want to use the station voice comm without knowing if anyone could listen in. That other shuttle had come with the lawyers from Lady Cecilia's competency hearing.
Ah, yes. Annie mentioned that you'd talked to one of them. What happened?
Yeah, one of them stopped me and wanted to know what ship I was off of. Guess they noticed the station employee's uniform on the way down or something. I told him just what you had said was our story. We're the Harper Valley, I said, and told him we were an independent freighter picking up a load of frozen equine sperm and embryos. Wanted to know where we were bound next, and I said, wherever the captain wants, I reckon. I'm just a mole. They didn't know what that meant, and I told them environmental tech, and they said, what was our captain's name? And I said, he was a sorry son of a bitch named Levati, which was all I could think of at the time. They said, did we work for Lord Thornbuckle? And I said, I wished. And they said, oh, never mind, she doesn't know anything we want to know. And they went off, and so did I.
I wonder why they asked about Lord Thornbuckle. Unless they figured out that it was Brune who brought Lady Cecilia here. Good job, Vivi. They may find out that Levati is an RSS captain, but it won't do them much good. Now, about the charts and things you picked up.
Yes, ma'am. Got those from the station master and came back without running into any more of those people and gave the data to Miss Serkin.
Harris noted that the formality in referring to Serkin came easily to Skoderin. She pointed to the data cube and hard copy on Oblo's desk.
Is this what you gave her?
Yes, ma'am. Of course, I don't know what it means. Jump points and stuff, but not what.
Well, that's fine, then. Go on back to bed.
When Skoderin had left the bridge, Harris turned to Oblo.
Check the course Serkin laid in against those sheets and make sure she actually used the current data. I don't want us stumbling into Benignity space because of Serkin's carelessness.
Yes, ma'am.
Oblo went to work. Harris sat there, wishing she were back in bed with Petrus, but knowing it was too late. It seemed their jinx had returned. Besides, something nagged at her. Skoderin's story had been plausible, and Skoderin wasn't the problem anyway. So what could Serkin have been up to, besides getting current data? Had she known the lawyers were aboard the station just then? Had she wanted Skoderin to be seen and questioned? If, somehow, she had managed to let them know that the ship in dock was Cecilia's yacht, then getting Skoderin out there to be seen was one way of giving the enemy a complete crew list. They already knew about the others. She had counted on Skoderin going unrecognized, and now they knew about Skoderin, too. That didn't satisfy her either, but she could not reconcile the two Serkins, the two possible explanations for sending Skoderin out.